more exclusive Dobbstown talk with Ion. I title this little thing Everything. Since it's all about 3 years ago, it's interesting, relevant to put it out there for free so people can hear what was going on 3 years ago. Okay, so here we go.
This is session number 201, recorded on November 14th, copyright 2009, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved. Good morning. Now, we had a great session last night on 1364, 2012, and the polar shift. What's interesting is that the polar shift was known by those that calculated 13,000 year cycles. They studied the stars enough to figure out that spans of time, spans of existence.
Don't just change the word. They didn't count it like time. It's what they noticed. It's kind of like they noticed when the cow would come in, they'd have milk. You see, when they're springing, they'd have a calf, and then the cow would have milk. Well, when does that happen? Well, it's when the cow has a baby. Well, when the cow's not pregnant or doesn't have a baby, then there's no milk. So there's no time schedule. That is just the season. So they paid attention to the seasons. They noticed things because they weren't tweeting and they weren't watching their chip body and caressing their TV body. All they had was their chemical body and their astral body. If they didn't get caught at it, because the sorcery was against the rules and it didn't matter why in those days. So all you had was looking at the sun, moon, stars, and skies and your chemical body. That's all there was. And it wasn't even judged by your printing press, and there was nothing to type. So they didn't really have anything else to do, and they were outside paying attention to it, because if they didn't chop every single thing down that they ate, they starved. So it was a constant process of foraging and creating resources.
They noticed this 13,000-year cycle had a polar shift.
Season.
Season had a polar shift.
No, they didn't know what that meant. Here's what they noticed. What they noticed is that the aquifers, the running aquifers, would run the opposite way. You know what else they noticed? They noticed that dry creek beds would become wet, what they call a wet spring, meaning that if it's really, really dry, the spring will go dry. If it's really rainy, then the spring will flow. Water will just come out of the ground. If they noticed that those all changed, they also knew that the bark on the trees grew heavier on the what you call the southwardly position than they did on the northerly position. They also noticed in the making of curd, meaning the collecting of curd, what they make for cheese, that the seasoning process of aging cheese was greatly shortened. Must have had something to do with the change of the bacteria growth. That was what they noticed. Now, the Armenians and the Mennonites and the Amish. Now, see, they had signs and wonders that they paid attention to. For example, if cream spoils and the bread doesn't rise, they would notice that and they would know that someone had put the hank on them, which is this spooky voodoo, hoodoo, whatever this stuff is, that they had a spirit. A negative spirit. And they gave great attention to that. So when a spirit showed up in their experience, their bread wouldn't rise, the milk would sour prematurely. And they used that as a knowing of being affected, okay, by a spirit. Now, that's also a season, but they were just very attuned to noticing. That's all. But now they saw that as a negative connotation. It wasn't. It would show up and they would know. It would be, you always, Bob, love your degrees of empirical evidence. Okay? We have to say the satellites are going to fall. Well, when? Okay? When this stuff changes. And they're going to crash to Earth. And you're going to notice that. And even CNN is going to notice that. And you go, oh, cool. Okay, we'll mark that down. We don't know why you like the empirical evidence, but you do. And that's okay with us because we love you more than you know what love is. So we're easy. We'll give it to you just all day, every day. No problem.
Well, we appreciate that. Now, the satellites are going to drop out, aren't they?
They are.
Let's go back. Is the polar shift every 13,000 years, or does it happen more? More
season.
Than that?
No.
Yeah, 14th. That is a season, a polar shift season.
Yes. Very good.
You see, the first time it changes, it has to have happened. It has to have spanned 13,000 years, and everybody had to be watching the records, and they were. And they said, oh, wow, everything's going backwards. Everything's upside down.
Well, then, and here's what's very interesting about that, Bob. The Mayans didn't make it through a 13,000-year cycle themselves. So that's why we have to go to the next tier level of the Hopi Indians.
All right.
Now, the Hopi Indians, they have the same type drawings, but no one's speaking about them. And they actually have almost been around long enough to get through a cycle. Mm-hmm. Nobody talks about this. This would be your Native American Indians, the Hopi tribe, typically out in the desert areas, in the Mexico areas of Grand Canyon, you know, that geographic area primarily. All right. They saw that there was four cycles, four beginnings and four ends. Four worlds. And this goes back to your sinus rhythm of four chambers. Right? And they saw it as man was one chamber, being a cycle, and then they went away. Then there was a new heaven and a new earth, and that would be cycle two, or world two. And that was the experience of when that happened again. Now they speak about this being the fourth beginning of man. Now that's transubstantiating. They didn't say it this way, but oh, you marvelous creators, we're going to read between the lines. When they start talking about a resurrection, somebody's got to be dead. They don't say that every man's past expired, but they do speak of it as four specific sections where the earth was full of grace and glory, and then it was not. And it happened again, and then it was not. Happened again, it was not. And now they say we're fixing it. It lines up within 40 months of the Mayan and the Tibetan Book of the Dead version of this 2012, starting the fourth rotation or process, or we don't know exactly which word to use, so we use several and you can add your own.
What was the 40 months? What was it? What about
40 months? 40 months. Their cycles are off by 40 months from the Mayans and from the Tibetans.
Oh, I see. And the Tibetans were 26 days or from
26
the,
years.
26 years. 40 months, that's 3.5 years, a bit, 3.25 years.
It's very close. Mm. It's even closer than the other. And that hasn't been embraced because they don't give credence to the Hopi Indians. But their shaman, their astral body directors, that's what it was, astral body directors saw it very seamlessly, clearly.
You said that if you got into your astral body and that sorcery, that was controlled in that world. So, you know, you had people were accused of sorcery.
Well, the Pendragons didn't even allow Merlin to work his magic in all of Camelot. And he was on their side.
And the Pendragons are a name of a family?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You know, King Arthur, he was a Pendragon.
Okay, got it. But there were shamans in those cultures. Were they outsiders?
They weren't practicing witchery.
Who practiced witchery? Someone who wasn't authorized as a shaman?
No, the shaman couldn't practice witchery.
How did they do? What was witchery as opposed to other stuff they
did?
Well,
that's the question. We don't know either. People would have marvelous things show up, marvelous luck, or something, 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 and they would accuse them of being a sorcerer and have them put to death. Anything anomalous.
So the Mayans weren't around 13,000 years, but their astral body directors were able to go to other worlds and figure it out or see it.
There you go. Very good. Because they're also linked into these signages. And you notice how we were very careful how we said that, signages. The signages, the signage, it's already written on those stones that are old, 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 or new, or R, maybe that's the stones R. They have keys and codes, even in the Mayan coverlet, which is like this huge stone cover in the lower section. They have a carved spaceship and someone riding the spaceship, the deck or the top of this, like a tomb. And inside of it, they have this spaceship, looks like a motorcycle spaceship shuttle with a person on it with a space helmet with the oxygen and the whole nine yards. And they don't talk about that so much, but it's certainly there and it's certainly questionable because it looks just like even your spaces today.
Is that a drawing or an actual motorcycle with someone there?
No, it's a spaceship and it's an actual stone carving of it.
Is there a spacecraft in there?
The spacecraft that is shown is carved into stone.
Yeah.
Not the actual ship.
Okay, the polar shift happens, matter is shifting, frequencies are changing, and the Christian culture projects it as the second coming or the apocalypse.
The Jewish people will call it the first coming.
The biblical significance at the end of time, or end days time, whatever they're called, that is an exaggeration by a culture that doesn't know, or maybe they do know.
The only thing that's happening is the, we don't want to call it the fatalist, but we would actually call it more like the Jonathan Edwards crowd that are running these end times, get ready because it's over next day after tomorrow. It's not over. It changes, but it's not over. That's the dynamic that they missed. Because Jesus didn't say that it was going to be the end of earth. They said, if you don't know how to pray, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, the Christians are very clear. The rest of the story is that if everybody doesn't go off to heaven, heaven comes here. On earth as it is in heaven. Once you get rid of that stinking curtain dividing you and non-physical, then they merge. Oh, but Nina says that's the problem when you start merging worlds. That one gets smashed and one replaces it. That is exactly what we're describing. Now, if you call that doomsday, be damn doomed. Oh, that's the case. But if you don't see that as doomsday, if what you're replacing it with, just like we talked about dropping a bad habit, you never drop a bad habit. You replace the habit with another habit. So if you replace earth with a heavenly world, great. Very wonderful. So then what happens is human creators can come into their power and knowing. They still may have a little contrast, but the only contrast will be, do I have 8 Snicker bars or 10 Snicker bars today? Well, for some, that wouldn't be contrast, you see. But if that is contrast, that'd be all there'd be to it. You can still create, still stay in your physicalness, no longer have time. It's the end of time. That's it. Good. Thank God we're getting rid of it. There really is no time already, but this new season, this new session, this new experience that you're coming to because you timed the damn thing wrongly to start with anyway. But if you could stay in your physical and have full power with your non-physical helping at every whim, then guess what, Bob? Heaven does come on earth as it is in heaven. Then that's sort of that last book that you've been betting at is on earth as it is in heaven.
Now, the Christian culture has been around maximum 2,000 years, but then you include the Hebrew culture, so maybe 3,000 years or more, or that's time. That doesn't work.
1,000 in dog years.
Yeah, so it's interesting that the polar shift happens now, whenever now is, and at the same time there's a cultural Christian thing saying it's the end times. Was that coincided intentionally?
It was authored that way, but people misunderstood it. They understood it that this destruction of this earth would end their beingness. They have eternal life. We were there when they were roading. They wrote it by rote. They read it by rote. I guess they did when they were roting Revelation.
Yes.
And if you run through Revelation, of course you missed a chapter that didn't make it through the Council of Nicaea.
But you saw it being written.
We did. And that brings the balance of the Prince of Tithes.
What brings the balance?
The 23rd chapter.
Oh.
They don't include it because it takes all the meat and gravy away from the meal. You got to have these horsemen, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, to come and smote you down so that you can get right with God before he cracks your head open or whatever. Well, that's not the devil doing that. Those are those angelic beings from God himself. God is the great smoter. Well, now, wait a second.
Are those the four horsemen? You mean the great angelic beings are the four horsemen?
Yes.
Did someone in the Christian culture, John or Matthew or somebody, know that the polar shift would happen?
No.
It just happens to be that they're noticing the signs right when we're having the end of the 13,000-year cycle. Is that just a coincidence, or?
There aren't any of those.
Yeah, that's right. So it's there to create contrast. The Christian thing is here to create contrast in relation to the inevitable polar shift.
No, yes, Bob, absolutely, no question. But let's just beat that up a little bit. Hell no, it was not. What it was about was so you could come to that decision whether you turn or burn. It was where you have to follow, not Jesus, not the Christ. That's not what you're supposed to follow. What you're supposed to follow is our collective dogma of the church. The point of that writing was not so you could enjoy non-physical in your heart. We're great proponents of that. We say, absolutely, if you can get non-physical to live in your heart, boy, you've got it. The cares of life will indeed go strangely dim. And you will eliminate yourself from many others because you'll become into your power. That's what Jesus is supposed to be, remember? Well, if that Holy Spirit can come and nest itself in your heart, and you can have a relationship with non-physical, with Jesus, hey, the world is wonderful. The flowers bloom, the heavens open, the sea is quieted. You are in your notion of power. And if you follow that, great. No, they use that as then you will be smoked down at the judgment seat, and you will burn eternally in the lake of fire if you don't align yourself with our dogma.
Now, that was the Council of Nicaea, and they projected that into John of Patmos' writings and brought that in,
yes.
And they purposely knocked off chapter 23. And is there a residue of chapter 23 anywhere?
Yes.
In the Vatican?
No.
Somewhere else.
You see, you notice how they clipped it off? The story isn't complete. So it's almost like they whacked off the last chapter and then modified a bit to say, okay, this is all there is, and don't change a word, don't add or subtract, and follow these words, and...
But
have a nice day.
The Council,
and thanks for the fish.
Yes, Council of Nicaea was a political move. Only political.
Well, okay, because you're asking, you're not asking, you're telling.
Yeah.
When you're asking us for a stamp. You don't need non-physical, you just need a rubber stamp.
Yeah.
We would say, the way you're saying it, yes, but not exactly. But now think about it. Who made up the Council of Nicaea? A group of folks that were elected in the higher ranks of the parliament of the day, their job was to open and close the canon for the Holy Catholic Scriptures, or the Holy Scriptures, that would be bound or put into writings that the world may know. So they were a political party voting on what stays and what doesn't. And many, many, many works were being brought and summoned forth for them to consider if it would be included in the canon or not.
Were there any associates of Jesus who were part of the council?
They didn't make the election.
So who were these people that set up this structure, was Council Messier?
The politicians of the church of the day.
And were they part of the Roman Empire?
They were.
Were they Romans or?
No, not really.
There was a satrapy.
See, they weren't going to admit that, but then Christianity, see, started catching on. You know, it's about as silly as talking about Constantinople, talking about being a really marvelous church worker. Well, he just turned the last few moments of his world before he transitioned to even acknowledge Christ. Everything other than that was off at their heads. So, you know, it gets kind of cheeky after you start thinking about it.
You were saying the Christian, like who, these people in Nicaea, did they call themselves Christians?
No, not necessarily.
Why did they have to deal with the writings of the Bible?
They had to decide what was going to be included, because this was what was going to set up the flow from this point forward.
And that was the beginning of the Christian church?
That's what closed the canon of what was included in the Holy Scriptures.
And those who were taking these scriptures seriously were called Christians, right? Council Nicaea, you just said weren't Christians, but maybe you meant that spiritually. But were they technically Christians, nominally Christians?
Well, we would say no, Bob, because you had all kinds of sects that were represented on the Council of Nicaea.
So this was like a senate?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm sure there was a lot more Jews than there were Christians.
I was talking about the coincidence, the timing of this Christian paranoia about the end times happening right when there is an interesting end of a cycle, end of a season.
Yeah, but they don't set it up that way. See, it was the end of times in World War II. It was the end of times with the Black Death. It was the end of time. Jesus was going to be here day after next, last Tuesday.
They keep adapting it.
They've been talking about this forever, ever, ever, ever. What do you call those people, the soothsayers that would say the end of time is 1800s and then 1900s and then every other day? Mm-hmm. You called them something not too long ago. This is your quiz, if you remember.
Dispensationalism.
That's when it all went awry. That's when you started the rupture. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry.
The rapture.
That dynamic is not in your scriptures, even from Nicaea.
That's a product of the dark ages of the printing press.
Correct. For these scriptures that you're not supposed to change.
Dispensationalism has been around before the telegraph?
No, 1880s.
So that has nothing to do with the cycle the Mayans noticed. And I hope you noticed.
And it has nothing to do with the Christian church either. Right. But it is.
You mean Jesus?
Everybody's scared to death to be left behind. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but don't leave me behind. Oh, Jesus, I love you. You gave your only begotten son. And so Jesus has got to love me no matter what. Well, that sucks. You want somebody to love you because they have to. I love you because I take pity on you. Well, how does that work? How does that bring you forth into a relationship with God?
Okay, we don't need to go into that. I understand that.
But it's so good for your recording because it cleans up so much of the issue with why your church is having such a hard time. You're not meeting the needs of the non-physical within your parish, within your churches. You're not serving your constituency. And when that happens, then people, creators, through contrast, will find another way. And the other way happens to be this thing that you summoned forth, how ionically.
Yes, the other way is...
I guess it would be however ionically.
I want to talk about the four quadrants, the four chambers, the four eras, and then what you just said... Iondom. Okay. You know, the Greek had four phases, golden, silver, brass, and iron or something, bronze. This four phases, the Hopi saw that everything was great and then there was no more. What caused the end of the first phase?
Don't know. They don't list it that way. How they list it is a season. But there are four seasons.
Oh, they don't mean 12 months. They mean huge time span.
They mean you have a civilization, it's extinct, there's another civilization, it's extinct, there's another civilization, and now we're finishing up the third, fixing to begin the fourth. Now, the Hopi Indians say that there's only four. Now, did they say that that's the end of time? No. They said there's four sections of seasons, and then it's a replication, basically. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Now, you've heard that once. It's like your old-timey foxtrot, isn't it, now? So, there's no five. So, therefore, it's over. No. Once you get through with four, you go back to one and begin again.
Yeah, because four gets pretty good. It's in the ion dome.
But then
you have heaven on earth, but you somehow shift and you start over again.
Well, but see, the point is that because there's only 13,000 years written down, that it's over. Well, that section is over, but that's not the end.
Oh,
that's just where you start counting again.
Are you saying the four seasons are in the 13,000-year cycle?
Yes.
I see. So that they divide the 13,000 years into four seasons, four parts.
That's right. But they're not the only ones. You have the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You have four chambers in your heart. You have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have four as far as your Advent, the season of Advent. Four replicates itself over and over and over again. Even the Buddhists have the four sections in different quatrains that were divided into four sections. Many things have four arenas.
Even awareness had Rye, Eloy, Two, and Lofty.
There you go.
That's the 42. You got the four, and then you got two worlds.
Right. Good.
That's what 42 means, you know?
The secret to life.
And four is A is to B is C is D. That includes the ratios of doctrine of proportion, proportional stuff. And that's maybe rhythm. Like you said, one, two, three, four. When Aristotle wrote down the qualities, started categorizing things, actually nobody
did of care.
And came in with the alphabet and the writing of Greek culture. But you can see that nobody knew what hot was because everybody's individual. And there was no point even bringing it up.
Precisely. The same way that you could have intercourse relations. Well, this is appropriate and this is not appropriate. Well, wait a second. That's not how they gauge it. That's not how that works, you see. That's not how it even applies. That's not even in the process. Just because you're prudish doesn't mean that someone else's experience can't go further than you allow. When the dynamic of how you're working yourself in this process limits your own ability to enjoy and embrace the full body concept of this becoming one, you say. J.W.'s wife, she has the best saying of all about it. Folks will be along in a small town. They'll be in your business. Don't you worry. And they'll always have some adjective or description of telling you what you should be doing, how to live your life, and how to run it. And she's very quick to tell them quick, fast. She doesn't mind telling them plain. She says, well, I'm the wife, and if I don't mind, why should you?
Yes.
It doesn't bother me. What makes you think you're going to have any say in this process? If I'm okay with it, you're not going to change my husband's mind. If I'm okay with it, it's going to be okay. That's what you need to know in the process. And then that's exactly right. See, it's relative. It's relative. Okay, we got to let you ask questions.
You know, humans like to find things are the same, so we found that the four is the same structure. To know anything, it has to relate to something else, because this is only this in relation to that. So you've got two things.
Right, that's right. That's exactly right.
Right.
How hot is the water? How hot is the pepper sauce? How salty is salt?
So you have that two-ness, and then you have another two-ness, because another world comes in and maybe it judges, like Carol will judge the two, the hot and cold within her universe, and I judge it. So you got two. So the basic interplay between people.
Or what it is, so.
Yeah, but you know, I'm cheating here. I don't know, but I still got it. I'm still a good dancer.
You don't got it, you get it.
Okay, so you have the two-ness in Carol, the two-ness in me, and the interaction of that, the dancing.
Well, Carol is complete. Well, she's just being patient with us.
So you have the two and the two, and the dancing between them is the basic four-ness. That's the beginning. The consciousness doesn't begin with one, Carol, it begins with four.
Correct.
Yeah, that's a good point. As far as a beginning point.
And it's soft. And even then, there's much information that we're getting here. But still, at the end of the day, the whole business of this interaction is only to recognize you have a physical. What if you had only non-physical and we had to convince you that you had a physical? Literally. Now, wouldn't that be cheeky fun? We must tell you, you have flesh and blood. What? You have flesh and blood. That blood flows. You have a cellular basis of a dirt-based carbon life form, and you grow things, and gravity works on things. Seeing things sag or they don't. You have muscle structure. You have a mind. You have a microprocessor that even affects even the dynamic of how the chemicals are balanced in this meat sack. And you go, get out of here. What the hell are you talking about? You mean we break food down, sieve it through something, get goody out of it, and then let it go? After we've gotten the good out of it, that sounds silly. Why would we just keep it and eat less? Well, you see, if we did it that way, you'd go in our way. That's just silly. You human marvelous creators, we'd have a much more difficult time proving to you that there was a physical you than we would have convincing you that there's a non-physical part that's attached to you. Everybody resonates with that. Well, I'm alive because I still have my spirit, because I'm not dead. Well, but some people have lost their spirit and they're still alive. Then they laughingly, jokingly say, oh, well, they're just dead. They're just waiting on a disease to claim the body.
Everybody comes here and gets it upside down on purpose, though, to mix it up.
Well, if they don't start at 6 o'clock when they arrive, sometimes they may think they're upside down. Mm-hmm. So that's why we always start upside down. So then you have a perspective to see how salty or hot, spicy it is. So then you can know. And if you start it off that way, then you have something to parallel it to. Mm. Something parallel, equidistant, the same.
That's the two-ness. You got to have two of everything. If there was a beginning count, this world was manifested, created, and we came into it, and some came in upside down, and we never recovered from the difference.
Or they came in feet first, and then when they arrived, then that turned them upside down. There's as much validity there is that we talk about the shifting of the poles, the polar axis flipping. That's okay. It's like that they came in at 12 o'clock, and then they went to 6 o'clock, and they were upside down. But you have the same problem. If you look in the mirror from your eyes, it's reversed, and then we say point to that side. And if you're not looking in the mirror, you'll point to the wrong side. Your mind can't even differentiate between refraction and reflection.
Since we didn't know and don't know what time it actually is, we don't know that this is the end of the 13,000-year cycle.
For sure. Yeah, Who was there?
The Mayans made a lucky guess, and we happened to find out this
they
time.
They just started somewhere and started marking it. Might have been 13,000 days.
Yeah, the Mayan calendar doesn't say there's any changes.
It doesn't say there's any time.
Yeah, so all this changing that's happening is not... In the Mayan calendar, there is a suggestion of change in the Hopi phase.
There's different quadrants that's divided by. Don't say how long it is.
What has actually happened is the veil is thinning right now.
Yes, first time of this one, not the fourth time, first time.
This is the first time the veil is thinning.
Yes.
Not the fourth time, there are other kinds of changes.
There are other kind of shifts, but no, this is getting ready for afterbirth now, Bob. The baby's born.
That is the fact now, and we don't know why it's now, but it is now. It's happening now, and our calibration is never anticipated.
You're creating it.
We're creating it now. And you could make up different reasons why we're creating it. But the thing is...
Well, you're always looking for a reason. Oh, wait, we've done that already.
We do have the Christian second coming, or...
Jewish first coming, and the Buddhist overcoming, and wait.
Right. And the Hopi new man...
And the deist uncoming, it's everything a rabbit can do to a stump. It can go aboard, about, above, across, after, against, along, amid, among. It can do all them prepositions, and then it has to have an object of the preposition. So your language is just an anomaly waiting to unfold.
Right now is this change, which nobody knows what time it is really. It's happening now. It just happens that some of the cultural content happens to be Christian, which says, oh, these are the end times. But their meaning of the end times is not the Ionic announcement.
Correct.
You know,
very good. So not, there's nothing to push against.
Yeah.
We Christians, we love everybody.
The point is, there's actually something happening right now. And everybody in their culture and frameworks would be shocked at what was actually happening now.
Well, they are being shocked. They're being astounded. They are being astounded.
That's right, because they're bringing their cultural frameworks and looking at it, and it's not jiving with what they thought was the time it is.
Taking themselves too seriously. And
we're the only people in the world who know what actually is going on the deepest level, and we go out and announce it, and then it's filtered through all the different cultural memes who say, you mean it's the end times, or it's the fourth Cali, and you know, all the different, no, it's none of that, no, none of it. And it just happened to be happening now. That's what's interesting. It's happening now.
Mm-hmm. Here's what's hysterical, and why we were laughing and just about to fall out of ourselves, and JW's about to jump off the porch. It's going to get ugly here pretty quickly. Is yes, you and Carolyn are getting it, and you're also the only ones on the planet who could care less.
Good point. No one else cares.
It's like, we got it. What were we looking for? We got the answer. Great. What was that question? I forgot my question. Here I got the answer to all answers, and I don't know what the question was.
No, but we do. Okay. No, but because we're the only ones who care, we created it. We received it.
Very good. By seeking it.
Yeah, we saw it. There might be a few others, but they didn't show up.
There are. Because, see, non-physical is speaking to everybody. Mm. And some are in tune with that, and they're starting to figure it out. They're starting to come into this notion that they are indeed as powerful, so much so that your government starts to become afraid of you. In your culture, you have what they call a subculture. Well, that's what everybody's afraid of. Everybody's afraid of a terrorist. Why should you be afraid of a terrorist? Because they've come into their power, and they know there's nothing they can do with them. They can come into and blow up subways, and blow up people, and blow up buildings. And we have to be in abject fear because, oh my God, these human creators are coming into their notion that they're powerful, that they can take on a little bitty nothing, something, sand. Well, we can't say that on the tape, but different cultures, that they can take over the United States. We're the superpower. How can, you know, it's kind of like a termite can come through and knock the biggest building down ever, and the termite's tiny. It's like, well, this, thanks for the fish, this wood is good as any, we'll eat your wood. Or there'll be a building right next to it, they'll leave alone and they won't touch it no matter what. But the least are coming into the place of their power. And that's wonderful because then it makes you question everything. Maybe you're not. Maybe that organized capitalism is not the answer. Well, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's the answer. It's the answer. And then we'd say, great, how's it working for you? Well, so far, we've built a superpower, and then we took all of its power away, and now we're frustrated because we're powerless, and there are no houses. Oh, yes, there are. Well, there is no money. Oh, yes, there are. All the wrong people have all the money. Them drug dealers, they got all the money. No, it's not them drug dealers. Nobody's taking drugs anymore. They can't afford them, so they're not taking drugs. It's them oil companies. They're sucking the life out of us. That's it. No. It's them supermarket. It's the Walmart. Walmart's doing it. Costco.
No,
it's them superstores. They control us. We are limited only to what they provide, and then we have to pay their price with money that we don't have, with an economy that's not working, with the creators that aren't creating. And then we get crossways of that, and then the next thing you know, the little fellow says, you sons of bitches, we will see your blood run in the valley of Armageddon. And then they go, uh-oh, I saw that in the Bible. Oh, no. Margie, I told you, it was over. We'd hoped for so much more.
Well, you forgot to mention it because that's that 418 group, man. That 418 group, that secret council 10, man.
They're in charge, and then they're like, well, this is a fine mess you've got to fit to now.
Yeah, then they
control everything, and now we got to feed them. The slaves won't even provide their own groceries anymore.
Okay, but the 418 group, 7911, and they were doing it for their reasons because they were fearful of the economy, in their terms, collapsing. So they had to get rid of the evidence that it had collapsed. But there was a side effect of the whole thing that made even the 418 group and everybody else in government who were in on the 418 group afraid of something, right? You got the government afraid of the people afraid of the government. Everybody's afraid of each other.
But the people aren't getting so afraid of the government anymore. That's where they're like going, you know what? The last thing you promised us didn't come true. The other thing you promised us didn't come true. Now, we're supposed to support you. We support you so you can have power over us. We're confused. How does this work now? I support you as a candidate, and you become in power, so you can do me in. Well, what kind of mess does that make? Think about that now. Now, that'll hit you about 3 o'clock in the morning. You're kind of going, my God, well, yeah, this is amazing.